Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, September 12th, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Chaplain Craig Mueller, Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Welcome, Chaplain Mueller.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you with us here in studio today. I've seen you around the building and heard you a little bit here, but nice to get to actually have the chance to sit down and talk with you and hear about your work as a chaplain, your work in the Armed Forces, and now what you're doing here at the LCMS International Center in Ministry to the Armed Forces. So tell us about your background in the Armed Forces.
Sure. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride. first time I actually even thought about the military was when I was going to River Forest, of course, now Concordia University of Chicago.
Yeah. That's my alma mater, too.
I was running out a little bit of money, so I said I might have to join and help pay for college. And I ran into a Marine recruiter, and he just said, "What do you want to be when you get out of college?" And I said, "I want to be a pastor." And he's the one that first mentioned chaplaincy, and he said, "Just take out another loan, go to the seminary, and take a look at the chaplaincy." It was really interesting that way. So I did that at St. Louis. I went to the chaplain candidate program. Back then, it was called the Theological Student Program Officers. We called ourselves teaspooners, just as a little growing up in the getting a little taste of the military. But I still was mine of going to McCluskey, North Dakota, was where my first call was to be a parish pastor. Was in the reserves at that time, and really enjoyed it. Had a great people there for 3 years, and that's where I also met my wife Kristen. We got married. Well, she was from Minnesota, but we got married. And then I got recalled to active duty. It was actually Desert Storm, believe it or not, in 1991. Funny thing is that the war took less time than the paperwork did through the bureaucracy. Thankfully, back then, it was a short war. But they still got the call from my predecessor, Jim Shaw, who was the Ministry to the Armed Forces director, and gave me a call and said, "Hey, Craig, your paperwork's been approved. Would you like to come on active duty?" And I said, "Well, the war's, I'm not sure. I just got married. Love it here." But he kind of convinced me, and I talked to my elders, who a lot of them were retired vets, and they showed the importance of not being able to find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplain when they were serving. So they actually encouraged and said, "This is an opportunity and a call to take." And so I came on active duty, and ever since then, I've been all over the world in the Navy, serving with the Navy and the Marine Corps, and it's been a great ride. And now I've had this opportunity to receive this call, and I'm looking forward to this new position.
So you've served as a parish pastor, as a chaplain. And where have you been around the world?
My first duty was Hawaii. So everyone thinks, "Oh yeah, that's a great goal from to Hawaii." But it was sea duty. It was Destroyer Squadron 31. So I got my feet wet, or salty, as they would say in the Navy, right away, and did a lot of deployments to one Westpac. So it's all kinds of places in the Western Pacific, and it was the anniversary of the Battle of the Coral Sea. And my flagship was the USS Fletcher, which is Admiral Fletcher, for those of you who are historical buffs. So obviously it was a big deal. So we had a great time, and then we flew over to the Gulf, because we did 92. That was when we were doing the Guardian Watch or whatever for Saddam Hussein, to make sure he kept his self out of Kuwait again. And then went to Great Lakes in Illinois for the boot camp, ministered there to the chaplains, to the sailors and Marines, whoever coming into to Great Lakes. And then from there, it's just been a good ride. I think the last 10 years I've been with the Marine Corps, and that's where I retired out of the Pentagon as the deputy chaplain of the Marine Corps. But I think, you know, people ask, "What's your favorite tour?" I think they've all been good. You know, God has blessed the ministry no matter where he has placed me. It's been challenging for our men and women, and that's why I really have a passion for this ministry, that we need good chaplains to take care and to be present for our men and women, but also to be a witness of the gospel to those who do not know. So it's been an exciting ride.
Tell us about those men and women that you had the opportunity to serve as a chaplain. Tell us about where they come from and what is life like for them in serving in the military.
Sure. Of course, one of the things that someone told me about it was it's like the eternal youth ministry, because your average age is 18 to 23, especially in the Marine Corps. They turn over, I think what I heard was 75%. Uh-huh. They enlist for 4 years, they want to be a Marine, and then they go do whatever they want to do, GI Bill, go to college, start a job, or whatever they do to become good citizens. But they're young people. It's that age group, and some of them have probably not been into church, as we hear in our church, since confirmation. Mm. But now the military gets tough, especially the boot camp, and that's where I for the Marine Corps and the Navy, the ones that I've served with. And that's when we had a Lutheran service there, and it actually had pretty good attendance. Some of those young men and women hadn't been in church for a while, but it's a crisis of life. But of course, as we know, just celebrating yesterday, 9/11, the time of war, it's been a long time. So there's been a lot of opportunities to share the gospel to these young men and women who give so much, who volunteered. They knew what they were getting into. They'd be deployed into a combat zone, many of them. And just to see these young men and women do what they do for us, you know, for our country, but at the same time have that committed relationship with God, and it's important to them to see their chaplain and to stay in the Word, and they hunger for that.
You've obviously expressed that it is important for the average, as you said, the youth who kind of skips out on those opportunities to attend church when they're in a setting like this. They start seeing it as important. Why is it so important that we have chaplains in the military? Why is it important that we have LCMS chaplains serving in the armed forces?
Thank you. Very good question. Because I think sometimes it's more, when I look at the call, you know, we call it first to provide. We have our men and women, our pastors and congregations send their, say farewell to their young men and women from their congregations to join the military. And so where are they going to get the word and sacrament ministry when they're deployed on a ship or in a combat zone or in an isolated area? And our calling, first of all, as chaplains, is to provide that word and sacrament ministry to our men and women of so they could have that, because they're so far away from any Lutheran congregation that they could possibly go to. And I think the other part is just a ministry of presence, we always call that. And sometimes we might say it flippantly, but it really is being present with them. Mm-hmm. You know, you really are with your parishioners 24/7. You're eating with them, you're sleeping with them, you're running with them, you're eating the dirt with them, you're doing all the exercises they do. And I think that it's important for them to know that there's a place that they can come and talk to. And I think the biggest thing for us as a Missouri Synod to send chaplains is to be that salt in this difficult time, to be faithful, because you can do that in this pluralistic society and in that environment, this institution ministry. It's challenging, but to be there to have the honest truth that you can talk to these men and women about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's a witness to them and an opportunity for them to come and talk to you.
You bring up a good point that there are challenges that our chaplains face. You know, being a chaplain in the military in a pluralistic society, I'm sure, brings all kinds of challenges. Is it impossible? You know, are we up against an impossible task to send chaplains into the military in this pluralistic society today? What is it that Lutherans can bring, that LCMS Lutherans can bring in the midst of this pluralistic society in chaplaincy?
Well, thank you for asking. That's a question I get a lot when I was on active duty, as well as, just being out and about. How do you do that? Because it is, especially in today's agenda, I guess, if you would say, there's so many pressures of, you know, compromising this or compromising that. But to answer your question, yes, we not only should be there, we need to be there. To be strong in this we're still protected by Navy law, by DOD law, to be faithful to our endorsing agent, which we are as Missouri Synod. So our pastors, chaplains are expected to, you know, do what they do as a Lutheran Missouri Synod pastor. And so far, we are still protected by that. But I really think the advantage we have is the two-kingdom theology. We really know how to weigh in that world that we are. Yes, I'm a Navy officer, but I'm also a called pastor of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to be faithful to my confessions and my scripture and my God, and to maneuver those without compromising. And so far, but to answer your question, I think we not only need to, I mean, we need to be there in this time to be, to fight for our freedoms.
Sure. Yeah. And I think you've pointed out how important it is for our chaplains to have a good, solid education, good training, preparation for their work as chaplains, so that they can stand firm when faced with those challenges of being a chaplain in a pluralistic society. Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, we actually, for our requirements for chaplains, go above and beyond what the Department of Defense requires. We do want our chaplains to have at least 2 years after ordination, preferably more, of being a good pastor, being in the midst of it, know what it's like in all walks of their life, from birth to death, to the challenging, to preaching, to teaching, to experience, you know, that those challenges, because you will be alone and unafraid, I guess, in some situations in the military chaplaincy. But, you know, some of my fellow pastors come and say, well, you got it so hard there. I said, well, I don't think it's any harder sometimes with the pressures you have in a small town where they want to have this eunistic worship service or this is going on. It's still just being faithful and maneuvering that in a Christian winsome way. But to answer your question, I guess it's the experience is critical. Mm-hmm. We want pastors who are really good pastors, I guess, if you will say.
Sure. You want to put in a situation like that, you want to put, you know, your best people forward there to serve in those situations who are well equipped and ready to deliver God's good gifts faithfully.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are talking with Chaplain Craig Mueller, Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, on his new position in this work with Ministry to the Armed Forces. Hope you can stick around for more. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back right after these short messages right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the Messenger of Good News.
In 1939, Lutherans started resettling people displaced by World War II. In 1960, we asked, who else can we help, and opened our service networks to refugees and migrants. As wars and conflicts create the need for asylum and refuge, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service is still asking, who else can we help? Today, with partners, congregations, and volunteers, we're resettling refugees, reuniting families, and rekindling dreams. You can help. LIRS.org/volunteer.
Whether you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice or find it difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning, you may benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 o'clock Central and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, Missouri, where Reverend Matthew Roglin leads divine worship. Our live late worship broadcast at 10:45 comes from Timothy Lutheran Church in St. Louis, where Senior Pastor Ron Rall presides during the worship service. Join us for the message of mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Like the disciples bringing the gospel to the people at Pentecost, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates and publishes books that explain the Bible for people in languages they can read and understand. From Sudan to Thailand, Chile to Siberia, the Holy Spirit is working powerfully through His written word to bring people to faith in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To learn more about this important mission and how you can help, go to lhfmissions.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, Chaplain Craig Mueller, Director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Chaplain Mueller, we were talking about the great work of our chaplains who serve in the armed forces and in all branches of the armed forces, correct?
Yes, that's right. We have about 165, the latest count. It changes once in a while because somebody's retiring or somebody's joining, but and that includes reserve, mm-hmm. active duty. And we have a great group of chaplains.
What are the programs that are available to help our military and their families when they come home? What are some of the programs that are available for supporting them?
One of the good programs that we've started, and I'm really excited about picking up the mantle that Chaplain Mark Schreiber had did before I got here, was with Chaplain Mike Marino. Many of you probably have heard of it. It's called the Operation Barnabas. Mm-hmm. But it started in 2007 because of all the reserve folks, not just chaplains, but men and women who were mobilized for the war on terrorism. And they come back home to their congregation, and they may be miles and miles away from any VA hospital, mm-hmm. any kind of military support, all the welcome home programs that they have. So Operation Barnabas is one another avenue that our church is reaching out to educate pastors, congregations, and the VAs themselves of opportunities to how to help them. What are some resources available for them wherever they are, in rural ministry or in the city? It doesn't matter where they are. So that's been going on since 2007, and Chaplain Marino has been doing a great job. So I encourage people to go to our website, or it's got Mike's contact information on there if you want to start a chapter in your area. Because I think with all the people that have served, someone's been touched, almost every congregation,
sure,
through a relative or somebody. Mm-hmm. How do we deal with this? The war, and some of them obviously do come back with some invisible wounds and need some more help or some resources. So that's available to them. Another one that we're really proud of, we've been doing for years, is the ministry by mail. And the donations of the congregations that have helped keep that going is just reaching out to those. Again, they're on alone and unafraid, and there may not be a Missouri Synod chapel nearby. So the mail program really tries to keep in contact with them to get them a Portals of Prayer, some other religious Lutheran materials, good gospel-centered material that they can read. In today's technology, there's still nothing like having a little book that they can put in their pocket when they're walking and humping and doing all their things that they do in the Marine Corps and the Navy and Air Force and Army. So ministry by mail is really important to us, because we'd really want to keep track. And so I also plead to our listeners out there, if you know of people who are in the military, let our office know so we can reach out to them and get them on our mailing list and get them materials and reconnect them. That's another thing I want to do, in the next couple years, is really re-energize our contact pastor congregation program of bases near, congregations near bases, so they can have a connection to men and women who need a place to worship or haven't been in church for a while again, but some kind of reach out program. But those are some of the big things that we do. And obviously, taking care of our chaplains and their families, offering them some pastoral care and support as well.
Sure. Quite often when we think about chaplaincy and serving our men and women in the military, we're thinking about them as they're deployed, but it's important here in the U.S. as well to provide those services to them as well, right?
Absolutely. In fact, that's where, one of the routines, I guess we call them the pre-deployment, post-deployment cycle, but when they're deployed, they've got their armor up, they're on their defense, it's when they come home and then they kind of unwind and all the other issues come up, or they haven't seen their family for a while, so they've got other stresses and strains going on in their life, and sometimes that's when it manifests itself. So even more then, we need our Lutheran folks to look out for them and put their arms around them and bring them to, the gospel and just be there for them and reach out to them. So absolutely, Andy, that's a critical time, is when they're back at home station.
So ministry by mail, Operation Barnabas, and just being welcoming when they come home. And, if your congregation is near a military base, there are things that Operation Barnabas is certainly one thing that you can do. Are there other things that you can do if you're in a military town that maybe we haven't thought of?
Well, sure, and I think most of them do it, but it's just kind of a reminder that if maybe your congregation doesn't have a lot of vets, but one or two, but still have an Armed Forces Sunday, or like coming up here on Veterans Day, just some kind of opportunity to thank them and recognize them for their service. And it's not just, again, the for the great American, which we are, but also shows that you love them as a Christian, and that you're there to help them through this, and that they did something for you to protect your freedoms. And it's just, I would say, just having an opportunity once in a while to thank them for their service.
I think we've talked about some of these topics on faith and family before, that sometimes when a soldier comes home and the things that they've seen, when they come home from war and some of the things that they've seen, they find it difficult to go back to life in the congregation, to be a part of congregational life, just because of what they've experienced, whether they're struggling with thinking that they have sinned or whatever it might be, that they don't fit in anymore. And so what can we do in those situations? What can we do to be helpful?
Well, I think it's just back to the basics, you would say, I guess, it's just welcoming them up unconditionally as a child of God, and doing whatever you can to let them know that they're part of your church family. They're a saint. They're with you, that you're there to support them. And again, that's where I think you have a good point. And that's why I think Operation Barnabas, why it started in 2007, because there were a lot of those questions. And what this does is help. Here's some things you might say. Here's what we've learned, because it has been a long time, unfortunately. But just being there for them and giving them, letting them know that you're there and that the gospel is still there, that Jesus Christ loves them. Whatever they saw, they did, they've been through, what they've lost, you know, the comrades that they've lost or anything that's going on, just to remind them that here is a safe sanctuary, that you're part of our family of God, and come in, brother and sister, and we welcome you.
Sure, and to do it patiently. Some might not be so ready to jump back into that fold to listen and do so lovingly. I can't imagine, you know, just what a transition that must be to go from life, you know, right there on the front lines, you know, to life in the midst of war, to coming back home where things are relatively peaceful. And making that transition, I'm sure, is difficult. So it is important to have those welcoming arms and to be patient and help them make that transition smoothly and probably slowly for some.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What are any other programs that we haven't covered yet in terms of, you know, caring for those in the armed forces? Have we covered all of them?
I think so. I think the big thing is to keep thinking about and praying for them,
sure,
and being open to them.
What are the needs? Are there needs that can be met by those who are listening? Are there ways that we can support our ministry to the armed forces?
Sure, and of course, and I know this seems almost obvious, but it's always good among Christian brothers and sisters to remember, pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Pray for them. Pray for us. Pray for our ministry. And then, as just to kind of recap and celebrate Armed Forces Sunday, just to bring it back to, you know, the folks that are there, remind them that we haven't forgotten about them, and we support this type of ministry in this time and there. And then again, honor your veterans when you can. And I think one of the other things that Chaplain Marino would want me to say to all of you is, you know, look at the option of being a Operation Barnabas partner, which is a congregation that intentionally reaches out and looks around the neighborhood. Again, not necessarily members of your congregation, but it might be in your community that don't have anywhere to go, or you can partner with them and reach out to them through the witness and mercy in that relationship. But I think that's really it. I think it's just don't forget about
sure.
them,
right.
You know, that they're there. A lot of them, they all volunteered, even knowing what they were getting into. So
for those who are, for the young person who's thinking about the military, or thinking for the young man who is thinking about seminary, maybe becoming a chaplain, any words of encouragement for them, or any words that you might want to share with them today?
For those who are joining to think about becoming a chaplain, I would say, just keep going. Like we talked about earlier, I guess what I was saying is that being a pastor, you know, God will get you where He wants you to go. And just keep in mind that this is a ministry, and it's a mission field. It really is. It's a culture of its own. That's why we fall under the Office of International Mission, because we truly are a mission, and it's mission work. So if that's what your heart is going towards, and you feel God is calling you towards a mission work, don't forget about us. It's an opportunity to think about, maybe I could be a missionary in the military as a chaplain.
Sure. Yeah. For the young person who's thinking about going in the military, not necessarily as a chaplain.
Well,
but,
I think that's a very good point. And I think we need to do better is to let them know that when they go, you know, the pastor or the parents, let us know. Give us their name so we can help keep track of them. Let them know it's going to be a challenging time, but there are people there who are there to support you, and just gird up them with a lot of a lot of word and a lot of prayer, knowing it's going to be a challenging calling, a vocation, whether they're serving for 4 years, 8 years, or making a career out of it. But it's a great vocation. We need good men and women in the military. Obviously, they're great heroes. They've done great things, and it's a volunteer force. But if they're thinking about going, just let them know that there are chaplains, to find the chaplain or a church nearby. Stay connected with their church is critical.
Don't cut yourself off from the body of Christ when you're going into, well, any vocation, but especially when you're going into a vocation like this. Don't cut yourself off just because you're strong, maybe as in body, doesn't mean that you can remain strong in spirit if you're cut off from the, you know, word and sacrament ministry. That's an important time to stay connected to that. So, like you said, find the chaplain, find the nearby congregation, stay connected to that word and sacrament ministry so you can stay strong in spirit as well.
Absolutely.
Well, I've enjoyed the chat with you today and hearing about your work in the military, and I thank you for your service. And I'm so grateful that we have you on staff here now to work in our Ministry of the Armed Forces, and glad to hear about the great things that you're doing. And I know that good things are yet to come, and God is doing great work through this ministry, bringing His word to our servicemen and women. And I'm very thankful for the work that you're doing. Chaplain Mueller, thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time, spending some time talking with us about the work that you're doing here. It's been great chatting with you this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
God's blessings to you and all those who are in service in our military. We appreciate the work that you're doing. And please come back soon and talk with us. Keep us posted as to what's going on, especially as you're learning the ropes around here and what's going on at the IC. Keep us posted on what's going on with Ministry of the Armed Forces.
I sure will.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Robert Gattikin from St. Michael Lutheran Church in Richville, Michigan. Hope you can join us for that as we study Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 23 this morning. We're going to dig into that. And don't forget, we have Creation Club coming up in just a little bit with Pastor Warren Worth, and that's coming up at 8:40, so join us for that. And 9 o'clock, we join together for morning prayer. Stick around for all that here on His Time on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.